Hello, today is October 15th, and it is Tuesday. We're here with the news.
I think we should start today's news with an applause for one of our own, because we all know how much Krista loves Overwatch, and I think it was really strong of her to delete her Blizzard account, so let's applaud that.
I didn't do it.
What?
I didn't. I did cancel my WoW subscription, but I was going to do that anyway, so...
I guess you don't stand with the people of Hong Kong.
Technically, it's a sunk cost, right?
Oh, Lord. What have we done?
That sounds like justifications.
It does, but... I've actually been playing Prison Architect a lot more lately.
I tried to delete my Diablo account, and it was like, no.
Yeah, they won't let you.
I've never had any kind of two-factor on my thing, because I literally don't care.
And they want to see your license. It's like a whole thing.
I think the last time I played was a year ago.
Well, you know who else wants to see your license? And every piece of communication that you've permitted or performed in the last, well, since 2001, I guess? It's the FBI.
Oh, this is from The Hill. The court has ruled that the FBI surveillance has violated Americans' rights. Finally! Finally, everything that Snowden and everybody has been fighting for has been validated. We're going to see real change come about as a result of this, right?
I wouldn't be that optimistic.
Yeah, I don't think they... So what they've said is the only repercussions, really... Well, there are no repercussions. There are just some changes going forward. You now have to submit in writing why you want to hit this thing. Mm. And yeah, I think you don't have to get approval necessarily, but... It's limited. So one of the most egregious things I found was some contractor just searched everybody and his family and his girlfriend and himself. He was basically just bored and hitting this database and looking everybody up. That was the kind of thing, and that was not an isolated event. There was a lot of bad things going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you have it, it's going to be abused. And next time it will be abused in an untraceable way.
Yeah, now they know.
It's like, oh, I can't do that? All right.
So, yeah. The whole, like, what if we do this? What if it gets abused? Of course it did. Surprising no one. Amazon has an interesting thing because, you know, they love their workers so much. Mm. Not only do they not permit them to pee during the day, but as you leave the warehouse, they basically strip search you and shake you down like a prison facility.
To make sure you're not stealing, which I
exactly,
think is crazy.
Yeah. And some people took offense with that.
The Supreme Court has rejected Amazon's warehouse worker wage appeal. This is a Reuters article, and it cuts off kind of abruptly. But I think what's happening here is that the workers sued under federal law, and under federal law, this is apparently okay for Amazon to not pay you as you go through security checks. But there are state laws that say you should be paid as you go through security checks. It was escalated to the Supreme Court. Something in, like, Oklahoma and Kentucky were combined at the federal level. And so, because the Supreme Court has rejected this, that's actually good for the workers and means they're going to get paid under the state law?
I'm not sure. There was a previous case law that said it was okay to do that.
Yeah, but that was federal.
Well, and the warehouse workers said, too, that it wasn't like a five-minute check. It was literally like a 25-minute thing.
It's not that the Supreme Court ruled on it. They refused to hear the case.
Yeah.
So now it gets kicked back down, and
to the
it's not
court.
Settled.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just imagine, all right? Because we've seen that the Amazon warehouse day is grueling, and they're not temperature controlled, right? A lot of them. So you're racing, you got your wristband, which is driving you like it's just whipping you. You can't pee. And at the end of that day, you just want to go home and you have to go through a 25-minute security gauntlet.
Yeah. There's no incentive for Amazon to make that take a reasonable amount of time. So now they've got an incentive to make it take a reasonable amount of time.
Maybe these guys never watched a movie about like the drug scene in the 80s when they were producing crack. Just have your workers work nude.
Simple.
It worked for all those New York drug dealers. So, if you have a website and you're a big company, you need to make it ADA compliant. Disabled people need to be able to use your website. And if you don't, they're coming for you.
Los Angeles Times reports that the Supreme Court allows blind people to sue retailers if their websites are not accessible. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited about having web work from now until through 2022.
Now, this was interesting because the Domino's was at the heart of this, and a blind person was angry because the Domino's online ordering didn't work correctly with screen readers or whatever other technology they were using. Now, Domino's, they made a pretty good argument in my mind, which is, we still answer the phone. Call us. That part of the website, you could have found the phone number. But the blind person said, no, I should have the exact same level of access as everybody else. You got to fix it.
If this is the site I'm thinking of, I think Domino's had like this really weird... It would have been at home during the Flash era, where it was like a very visual image of like a pizza, and then you like clicked a picture of pepperoni, and it would like animate the pepperoni onto the pizza. Not accessible at all, but it looked cool. That guy missed out on that.
I wonder if they're going to, like, if you take that to the extreme, it's like, now Domino's, if they wanted to implement that, will have to have narration. It's like, narrator, the pepperoni is being deposited in a cartoon animation.
We've fully, like, gone back to Flash, where it's got, like, sound effects, too.
Pepperoni 1, pepperoni 2, pepperoni 3. Yeah, I think the better solution is just click a button and go to the old version.
Yeah.
The simple version.
Probably.
And the screen reader can handle that. Although, can you imagine you're adept at navigating the screen reader because you've been doing it for years. You know, you're born blind. You've never known another way. This is normal for you. But still, building a pizza through a screen reader? That's got to take 15, 20 minutes, right?
I think
that depends on how it was done. Like, I wouldn't think it would be terrible.
It would...
Like, you could have, like, multiple drop-downs for different toppings, and then...
Like, maybe a button to add another topping.
Yeah.
There are ways to abuse that.
But then what about if you want, like, half and half?
Yeah, I don't know how they
light
account for
sauce,
that.
Extra cheese, well done.
There's going to be some disclaimer text. It's like, if this is getting more complicated than this can handle, you just need to call us.
Or just Skype.
A lot of them have, like, the little text box that's like, you know, if, do you have any special instructions?
I wonder if the court would have found them in compliance if they had stuff in there for a screen reader that is like, if you're seeing this, you're using a screen reader, please call us to place your order.
And no, I don't think so. It'll be the same. You have to be able to do it the same way.
Wow.
Well, actually, I don't know. I don't know if we have definitions yet. All they've ruled on is the lawsuit can go forward. So then I guess we'll get some case law that defines all these things.
It'd be cool if you could.
Which we can then... You know, reference when we talk to clients.
If you could just email them, like, I want to order a pizza through email, that would be amazing.
I'm pretty sure you can do that, right?
People, I don't think so. I think you can.
I've never
I don't think
heard
you
of
can
that.
Email. You could fax them. You could fax an order, which I thought was interesting.
With your braille on your fax machine. I think Domino's has added this, right? This is just like because it wasn't there before. I can't imagine any company being just say like, no, screw those blind people. We don't want their business.
Yeah.
Certainly not like a large company like this.
Anyway, watch out for that if you're building a website. I don't know what the cutoff is, like how many people your website has to serve.
No, there isn't one.
But it's like public, but what websites aren't public?
Yeah.
I guess if you had a login.
Yeah, and this was also some of the language in here was for like retailers because the laws are accessibility for retail locations. It's like not necessarily this or that, but
5G. 5G is one of the hottest stories of 2019, and it's just a big ball of disinformation. And the carriers are simultaneously hyping 5G as hard as they possibly can, but also not really wanting to talk about the details of 5G.
AT&T and other carriers want to hide detailed 5G maps from the FCC and the public. When they were really pressed on the issue, they said, well, maybe we could give you a map that's like above 5 megabit download and below 5 megabit download. And so this really cuts to the heart of AT&T lying through their teeth about what 5G is, what it's meant to cover, and how it works. Starting with 5GE, which is not 5G, it's 4G LTE. AT&T even comes out and says, well, we think that 5G... when you get coverage for it, it's going to be like good 4G, which is code for it's literally going to be 4G. And they even said that people that live in rural areas not getting 5G, which is probably illegal.
And also probably why they don't want you to see that in map form. Because it's going to be a big, giant sea of nothing with little red dots over top of the major population centers.
The crazy thing about 5G, though, is that it doesn't go through concrete and steel and walls and crap like that. So in cities, it's really not that great unless you're like in a super densely populated area. So 5G is not really going to be a thing except for in those really densely populated areas where they've explicitly put a tower. And they're not going to spend a lot of money rolling out thousands of towers. We've already talked about that.
Last week we talked about license plates. And well, we talk a lot about license plate readers. But the EFF?
Yes, it was the EFF.
Won a case, and they got some of that license plate data to see exactly how bad it is. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that after they've had time to mine it. But it kind of uncovers the fact that we're always being tracked by our license plates, and a lot of these law enforcement agencies are sharing that information. So there's like this giant dragnet across the country of people who have committed no other crime than driving.
Spy cloud.
And so a lot of people are angry about that. They're like, oh, we should stop this. But people in government are like, no, we should normalize and regulate it.
Digitized video at Moulton. Digitized driver violations make it easy for states to share info. This is from like WCVB, which is just like, you know, some random station.
Well, it's this guy's
opinion.
Hometown. Now, this lawmaker is from this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, when you get a parking ticket, every law enforcement agency from, you know, the Barney Fife level all the way up through, you know, the FBI can see that you got a parking ticket, because that's useful.
And it'll actually be a push notification. If you're outside of your hometown or wherever you're registered for your vehicle and your license and something happens, they're immediately going to notify electronically your home base. It's like, hey.
It's like if you get a parking ticket in New York and you live somewhere else, they have a hard time collecting that. But now your local police can harass you for that. Isn't that exciting?
Mm.
Great.
And with those license plate readers, they can share that information as well and really just track you all day, every day. What a beautiful world.
Speaking of a beautiful world,
the big story was Hong Kong. We've all heard about it, but let's rehash it here. Now, a lot of these stories have been constantly updated, so the headlines are a little bit out of date. But I think the primer is people in Hong Kong are angry. I think everybody knows that, right? So all of this is fallout from that. And we talked about we actually talked about this last week. There was someone who made a Hong Kong app that directed people to where the protests were and where the police were. So, avoid the police, go to the protests. Apple took it down, and then put it back, and then took it down, and then put it back, and it was a big, big scandal, and now they've given us the reasons why.
Tim Cook has defended the decision to remove the Hong Kong Maps app in a memo, and it has been removed once and for all, apparently, because it was removed and put back, and we sort of predicted that it would be removed forever. But, it was being used to target police officers, and that put the police officers in danger, which, okay.
You think Tim has seen any of that footage of the cops shooting people?
Literally at point blank range, like just...
I mean, if you prevent one kind of danger to cause another kind of danger... So
it's economically very convenient for Mr. Cook.
Yeah.
The real reason had nothing to do with safety of anybody, except for Apple shareholders.
I think that and Kafka is probably the recurring theme of all of the stories in this week's news.
The other big fallout from this that Krista doesn't care at all about, and she just wants to stay on the point no matter what it costs in human freedom or life, was the Blizzard debacle.
After Hearthstone's players ban, Blizzard is in hot water with lawmakers. Although
they're in pretty much hot water with literally everyone on the internet.
Although this article has not been updated, surprisingly, Blizzard walked back a lot of things since this article. So
they did.
Originally, the Hearthstone players ban was a year, and he forfeit his prize money, which I think is really an unnecessary.
And they fired the casters who were interviewing him.
Yeah. So they're giving the guy back his prize money, but it's still a 6-month suspension, and the casters, instead of being fired forever, are fired for 6 months as well. Which is still, that's not,
still shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. And, you know, a lot of people have pointed out that China is such a huge market for these companies that what are they going to do? You know, they're really going to give up that much money?
A lot of people are interested. So I think in like 3 weeks, it's BlizzCon. They want to know what happens at BlizzCon. Like, are they going to be like...
Oh, they've already scheduled the like, you know, pickets and stuff, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like, how much of that will Blizzard allow to be shown on like the streams and stuff?
Not none.
Yeah.
Although, like, 3 weeks in the modern, you know, forgetful nature of the world, will we really remember this in 3 weeks?
Well, we will, because we have to report on it. But
well, but I'm saying, like, you know, the people going to the protests, yeah, will they still have the fire in their bellies?
Well, it's worth reporting that Blizzard's memo actually said this has nothing to do with China, which is one of the most blatantly false things that has been in the news in a long time. And we cover a lot of blatantly false things.
You know, it's so funny. Somebody put together, so the part of their memo said that we just want to keep politics and ideology and that kind of thing out of this. We just want to play games with everybody. And somebody went back and put together all of the LGBTQ crap that they've done over the years. It's like just blatantly shoving it down our throats. And it's like, that's a little bit of an ideology, isn't it? That's political.
Well, they've also done the, I know for Overwatch specifically, you know, Tracer was gay, which was fine. But like, I think in Russia, they changed it so she's not. So like, they just didn't release half the comics. So like, it's not the first time Blizzard just changed it depending on the market.
Well, this wasn't so much the content of the games, because that's fine. I mean, you know, if you create a character, create it however you want. But like the events and the headlines on the webpage and stuff like
yeah.
that, like they were really pushing a political agenda versus silencing a political agenda. But it's obvious that it's all just crap. Apple... Also,
speaking of crap,
not satisfied to just doom those poor protesters to being shot in the streets, also wanted to take away a little bit of their freedom of expression.
Apple has hidden the Taiwan flag in Hong Kong. I like the checkboxes. You got to show the checkboxes. It's like, what happens when you run out of checkboxes? No, scroll down. Keep going. There you go. All right. So in mainland China, there's no emoji for the Taiwanese flag. There's no keyboard. Can't paste it. Can't copy and paste the flag. It doesn't display anywhere. But in Hong Kong, you can still copy and paste the flag, and it shows up in the auto-suggest thing, and it displays anywhere. So what happens when they've run out of checkboxes? Does it just no longer exist there? I mean...
Well, I think probably what's going on there is either they feel this just needs to be temporary until they quell the uprising, or they haven't rolled out the entire thing yet. This was just like, hey, quickly get this off the keyboard. Later we'll erase it entirely like we did in Taiwan.
Do the people in Hong Kong know that, like, if things continue to escalate, China has no problem rolling out the tanks?
Well, no, they hide that fact by silencing any mention of that in the Chinese media. No, they're very good at this. The Winnie the Pooh memes have just exploded.
They really have.
They're so good.
And they get funnier every time.
So we know that in China and Hong Kong, one of the big things that the Hong Kong people are fighting back against are those facial recognition cameras, which are everywhere, and the tracking and the social credit score and all of that. The big thing is the extradition, but all of it's been a slow burn, I think. That was the tipping point. And China, in the face of all that, you think they might just like take a step away from the despotism for a week or something, you know? No. Not at all.
Uh-oh, getting a new mobile number in China will involve a facial recognition test. This is effective December 1st, so this is right around the corner. And the comments, like some of the translated Chinese language comments from this were sort of disturbing. They were like, you know, the last time that we went through invasive security policies, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but it's like the last time we went through invasive security policies, it was to make it so that we don't get scam calls and telemarketers and things, and we still have those. And this is going to be even more invasive, and they're telling us it's so we don't get scam calls and telemarketers?
They're saying that the problem is...
Those people had their social credit score just tanked after they questioned it.
Well, so that's kind of what they're using to defend it. They're like, hey, if somebody manages to sign up in your name to a mobile phone, we're going to accidentally come after you. You don't want that, do you? So step up and get your face scanned. It's the only way to be safe from us.
Yeah.
So that's create a problem and solve it. That's what good government does. So China, as we know, with Huawei, is not in good with the U.S. government, and the trade war is still going on. The trade war is like every day it's, we've got a deal, we don't have a deal. We've got a deal, we don't have a deal. And it's just the stock market just, please, please make a decision. And this decision is not going to do any favors for that because more have been added.
Reuters reports that the U.S. has expanded its blacklist to include China's top AI startups ahead of trade talks. Not just the AI startups, unless they're referring to like Hikvision or Hikvision as a startup. They're not a startup. They're a $40 billion company. But they do a lot with AI and surveillance. And their cameras are, the cameras run Linux. They're insanely sophisticated. They work really well. They do face recognition. Don't necessarily depend on the cloud. All the processing is done right on the camera, so it scales infinitely. This is probably not good for American companies because Hikvision uses a lot of technology from NVIDIA and Western Digital, and a lot of American companies, or a lot of companies that have a lot of American interests. So this seems to be like, even like American companies that did business with Huawei, yeah, there's a lot of those. But these AI companies also do a lot of business with American companies, like a lot more than Huawei. It's probably bad.
Also, blacklist. What is this, a Klan meeting? It's blocklist, Reuters.
Oh, right. My bad.
Twitch.
Oh, we're living in the darkest reality. Twitch, the story.
Twitch is a fun time because you can watch people play video games or flash their boobs or play with their pets, eat. There's all kinds of things you can watch. Now there's one more kind of thing.
Donald Trump is the newest Twitch streamer. I must have looked over this one in my news list. My brain just mentally
filtered it out. I didn't see this particular story, but this was all over the internet this week.
I thought it was not real. Like, I thought this was... This is from Engadget, but yeah.
Donald Trump purple hair win. No, he should do...
He should get the Twitch icon as like the teardrop showing that he...
He should do blue, because if he's orange, he wants the color on the opposite end of the color wheel.
You know what's funny is, like, presumably that channel would get a ton of subscribers, right? So they would have the... You think they're partnered? What I'm getting at is, if you could get a MAGA emote, there are a lot of places on Twitch that I'd say they'd be like, that's physical violence. So...
Inciting violence.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going a different direction with that. I thought this would be a great way to launder foreign campaign contributions.
They also pointed out that, like, clearly somebody on Donald Trump's staff, you know, is young and hip and was like, hey, we should just be doing this. And Trump has no idea, right? But would he be as excited about this if he knew this was a Bezos-owned hotbed of liberalism? And plus, he's come out against video games with all the gun violence stuff.
I want to know, when do Bernie and everyone else start their own Twitch channels?
I think they mentioned that at least one of those was already doing it.
What do you think Elizabeth Warren would stream?
Well, it's just the rallies. So it's the same feed that they're sending to everybody.
Well, if they really want to embrace that lifestyle, they need to, like, you know.
You got to go full Twitch.
Like. Listen, I don't like Elizabeth Warren at all. But I'd watch her play Dark Souls. There's a lot to say about technical literacy and the lack thereof. And we joke about it a lot. But when you see these, like, you ever watch those man on the street interviews that a lot of people do about, like, your rights and the hot tech topics of the day? And it's just staggering. And you say to yourself, you know, they're cherry picking these. The average person is not that stupid. It's not possible that they are.
And yet, the Pew Research Center has this report, summary, whatever. Americans' digital knowledge. A majority of U.S. adults can answer fewer than half of the questions correctly on a digital knowledge quiz, and many struggle with certain cybersecurity and privacy questions. I think that the people watching this show probably could have passed this by, like, fifth grade.
I do have one big, big argument with this questionnaire. One of the questions, I argue, has nothing to do with digital literacy. Recognizing a picture of Jack Dorsey? Who cares?
If you could, like, you should maybe know who he is, but, like, not... Why would you know him by photo?
No, you shouldn't.
I know exactly how that question got on there. It was...
sponsored by Twitter.
No, no, it was the MySpace guy. The person who wrote this is getting a little out of touch with technology, and it was like, would you recognize the picture of like the MySpace guy? Because Tom, because he was friends
everyone
with everybody.
Everyone recognizes Tom.
Because if you used MySpace, and they were like, well, what's the, okay, MySpace isn't a thing anymore.
What's the equivalent?
Yeah, and somehow that became Jack Dorsey. So,
but you're not automatically like following him when you start Twitter. So.
That was the worst question. But I figured, I think more appropriately, and a lot more people would have recognized the cold, dead stare of Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
For sure, right? And that's
literally an android.
They did the movie a few years ago too, and like a lot of people saw that. So
you get that little chill when you look into those dead eyes. And like, oh, yeah, I remember him.
It's uncanny valley. It's like we haven't perfected the technology.
California, we talked about was it last week or the week before that Congress they can't get it done. They work so hard, but they just don't have time in 2018 to get these. Data privacy
2018,
rules.
2019.
I mean 2019 to get these data privacy rules ironed out. So California gets to go forward.
Ignorance is not an excuse. The California draft rules on data privacy have been released. They go into effect January 1 of 2020. That's right around the corner.
So it's like you can always opt out. They have to give you at least two different ways to opt out. They can't do the blizzard. You must send a photo ID. for under 13, it's automatic. Unless they say yes. There's a couple of other things.
13 to 16 needs some kind of paperwork.
And, delete at any time, no matter what. Opt out at any time, no matter what.
Get a copy of your data, like GDPR.
Yeah, and then they have to have notifications on the website. If once you go there, it's like, hey, you know how they do the whole like, hey, we use cookies. Click this X and you agree to sell your soul. They'll have to do that same kind of thing with stealing your data. So,
neat.
I don't know. It does seem like a massive burden for companies, but you do have to hit a certain number of users before this goes into effect. So, and going forward, California has not satisfied to just legislate on that. They've decided to legislate on everything.
California has banned political deepfakes during election season. I'm not sure when election season isn't. And deepfakes are not named by name in this legislation, but it's basically banning generating any kind of fakery around things that might be political.
Well, it was 60 days, I think, around like an election date for an official.
Yeah, but you get local elections and special elections. And
well, does the candidate that you deepfake have to be in that election?
Yeah, I think that was the rule.
Hmm. So they're saying that, if you fake something that could affect the election, I don't know who decides that, then that is banned. Can't do it.
Doesn't seem to cover lying, though, foreshadowing.
Well, they did say that parody was okay.
Parody and satire, okay. And it said you could even do ones that are deceptive as long as it was like a disclaimer in the video.
Oh, yeah, you could say in the beginning.
Like, this is a deepfake.
You think we'll ever get to a point where it's like, I'm George Bush and I approve this deep fake.
Yeah. And then people won't watch to that point.
Speaking of new laws that have to do with technology, we've got one that's not on the books, but it's trying to be. And it has to do with when you are sold electronics, you need to know certain things that they contain in a day where almost everything contains these two items.
Protecting Privacy in Our Homes Act. The subtitle of this is basically, if consumers are being sold a product that contains a microphone or a camera, it needs to be disclosed, like how that's used and what it works for, blah, blah, blah.
And literally, it has to be a certain size font on the packaging. I'm not sure how that works with Amazon, since we buy all of our technology online now. But and it says, microphone inside. Hey, this toaster has a camera. Watch out for that.
This toaster can now reorder bread online.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that one. That one, I mean, it's government overreach, yeah, but can it be abused? Every time I look at one of these stories, I'm like, how are they going to use that against us?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that one. Krista,
mm-hmm.
What if you lived in Venezuela and you had to be subject to this horrible new rule?
It would make my job a little bit harder. Adobe is cutting off users in Venezuela due to U.S. sanctions.
Adobe did clarify that if you use Behance, you can still use Behance after you're cut off.
Well, they're also doing refunds now, probably because they got a lot of heat.
Well, it's just the month, though. Like, it's a
month subscription.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Well, they've been able to use it up until now. So this is because of the sanctions. You're not allowed to do business with Venezuela because they are an enemy. And, so a lot of people in Venezuela have subscriptions to Adobe, and Adobe's saying, sorry, we got to turn you off.
Doesn't this imply anybody that uses anything like a Microsoft Office?
Yeah, you would think.
Hey, I guess if it's a subscription product, you would have to, right?
Yeah.
So,
Blizzard?
Yeah.
This certainly spells out the...
The headline could have been, all of Venezuela supports Hong Kong, and the writer missed that.
This points out...
They had an opportunity.
Software as a service... has its drawbacks, and this is a big one. What if your country goes into economic war with another country? So yeah, you got time. You got till the 28th to download your crap and get it off the Adobe Cloud, and you're done.
Switch to Krita, though. Again, the text tools in Krita still not quite there.
Get a pirate
copy. So if you're a designer, that's not ideal. But
we need to do a bake sale for Krita so they can have proper font handling.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that they're really working on. That and I think they're still working on Vector as well.
We live in a world of cashlessness, and everybody seems to celebrate that. But there is a darkness, and it lurks very shallowly under the surface, as this poor young lady found out when an uncaring, soulless machine of a system simply chewed her up and spat her out. When she tried to go cashless,
her iPhone died. It led to her being charged as a criminal. The author here.
This is like a very editorialized article. Yeah,
he reads like somebody that's been writing news articles for about 30 years and is grizzled and just a little bit Luddite. But yeah, basically her iPhone died and she used her iPhone's, you know, near field thing, Apple Pay, whatever, to get on some kind of mass transit system. And. Her phone died on like the last leg of her journey, and so the ticket counter guy came through and was like, show me your ticket, and it's like, it's on my iPhone, I can't. But she was actually paid, and then they charged her with theft of a ride, and then it went to court, and she was found guilty, I guess, because the date changed, or I don't know, the article doesn't say.
She said she didn't get a notification, so...
And she didn't get a receipt.
In absentia, she was convicted, and...
Yeah, so it was just months and months and months of headache over not being able to prove that she actually bought a ticket. But she had her bank statement.
Yeah.
And they said that wasn't good enough, and they went ahead with the court case.
Well, she's like, well, is there a place I can log in and get a receipt or anything? And they're like, no. And she was like, well...
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. That might destroy a forest.
It was, I think her fine was like the equivalent of like $560.
Yeah.
It's the whole money.
The whole thing was very Kafka-esque, which is going to be the theme for many stories this week.
This would be a great, like a quick, like really quick cuts of a little montage of this whole thing happening over, you know, like 30 to 60 seconds. And then just, you know, power bank advertisement.
The ultimate ad for Anchor.
Well, she said she did buy one. Yeah. She was like, I carry one with me now.
Don't go to prison.
That's the other baffling thing, too, is like, couldn't she just show up with her phone and like that guy? And it's like, I'm going to have to charge you. And it's like, all right, we'll get off at the next stop. We'll go to your office. Surely to God, somebody has an iPhone charger.
Well, somebody on the train. But I think the thing is, you know, those train people are so jaded and like dead inside.
This is like in London too, yeah.
Yeah, we don't play these games. And in their defense, which isn't really a defense because if this is your job, you got to just deal with the soul-crushing nature of it. How many people a day are trying to scam them?
Yeah.
So.
Unless you just have no memory for faces, though, it seems like, you know, it's like the same guy that forgets his ticket every day. It's like, all right, you've forgotten your ticket 17 times now? Get out.
Well, but there's probably so many faces. They all just become horrible, awful criminals to you.
Yeah. Yeah, when you work any sort of like when I worked in retail, you didn't pay attention.
Yeah. So when you think of hotbeds of manufacturing technology, of course you think of South Korea, Taiwan, China. China's kind of tapering off.
China.
You might even think about India, right? there's one name that I guarantee is not in that list.
Rwanda just released the first smartphone made entirely in Africa.
This is actually really cool. I thought this was an encouraging story.
Yeah, it was like $130 to $190 for a pretty decent Android phone.
Yeah, they look okay. There's the specs. That only really gives you the storage and... well, I guess that is just the storage, not even the processor.
It has the retail in Rwanda.
Wow, that's amazing because the people in Africa are paying less for storage upgrade than Apple iPhone users.
And so, but the impressive thing about it is there are other African companies that make smartphones. But like a lot of smartphone companies, they buy the products from various vendors and put them all together. These guys literally make the whole thing from scratch.
Even the packaging. I think that's so cool.
I think they get some of the components, but actually the PCBs and the soldering and all that happens in Africa. So, neat.
Way to go, Africa. Right. And Africa is a massive mobile economy. Like, everybody has a mobile phone in Africa, and they use them for everything. You think we use them for everything? No, no. Africa uses them for everything.
Right. It's their primary computation device.
Yeah, so it's a big deal.
How long before there's a revolution in Africa and the battle cry is not seize the means of production, but seize the means of computation?
Team laptops.
I don't know if that looks mobile. Good on like a tweet or a t-shirt.
It's tough to make that into an acronym.
Yeah.
Moving on to social media, Facebook last week came out with an announcement that they will not do any sort of censoring when it comes to political ads. You can say whatever you want in a political ad. True or not, they're not going to vet it. Just do it. And some of the campaigns are not super happy about that.
CNBC is reporting that Facebook has rejected the Biden campaign's request to remove Trump ads containing false information. Long story short, there's a really long letter, a really long response from Facebook on this. And they say, nope, it's up to the campaigns to vet this. And if the campaign's doing it, then whatever. How is this a lot different than, like, the Russian ads that were run?
How is this different than political ads going back to the dawn of television?
I was going to say, because, like, wouldn't your precedent there be, like, television and how, like, do television stations have to verify that it's not false? Because
no.
I don't think so.
No.
They make out like television stations do, but the reality is that most television stations
don't care. Every election, you have competing sets of ads that are contradictory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somebody's lying. Right? It's always been like that. And I think, I hate to defend Facebook, but I think they sort of looked at that and they're like, okay, if we weigh in on this, then we have to be the arbiter. And we're going to be blamed of being biased no matter how it goes.
Yeah.
So let's just throw our hands up.
I like how Elizabeth Warren handled that, though. Is that the next story? Elizabeth Warren targets Facebook's ad policy with a Facebook ad. So Elizabeth Warren's ad is literally like Mark Zuckerberg has come out in support of Donald Trump. And so she's testing the, all right, you want to like not do the ads? Let's do it. So I'm reminded of a Mark Twain quote, which is never get in an argument with an idiot. They'll drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. Something
yeah.
like that. So yeah.
Is Elizabeth Warren
the
idiot?
Look how there's no light in his
eyes. I think there's a little bit of idiocy on both sides. I don't know which one's the bigger idiot.
Look at his eyes.
Yeah, that's why I think he should have been the one on the survey, because that is just a cold, dead stare.
There's literally, like, you know, our eyes reflect light. It's just black.
It's devouring.
Yeah. There's nothing there.
To hide the machinery. To hide the clockworks behind it. We talked last week about Libra, the big Facebook cryptocurrency that was going to take over the world, and PayPal noped right on out. Because they saw a lot of heat coming from a lot of different places. And they're like, hey, you know what, guys? PayPal doesn't need any more of this nonsense. We're out. And it seems like a lot of the other sheep were just waiting for that first one to jump the fence.
Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency coalition is falling apart as eBay, Visa, MasterCard, and Stripe jump ship. This started with
Yikes.
eBay. Like on Monday last week, it was like eBay. And then by the end of the week, everybody was like, nope, we're out.
It goes all your credibility. Like,
yeah, I think that was the big thing about... Because, like, Bitcoin, the problem is you got to transfer it, you got to get it back to cash, you got to pay fees at every level. But with this, you could literally just buy it and use it, and that was going to be the huge thing. And I think that's the thing that the government was like, wait a minute, that's real money, and no, we don't like that. So he also has to testify to Congress. Did that already happen?
No, he's got to go again. So I don't think that's happened yet.
But it's about Libra this time.
Probably by the time you're watching this, it's happened maybe. But if not, you'll hear about it next week.
So we'll get that's going to be funny because if you remember the first time he testified to Congress and you saw it's like, they don't understand anything about this. And with cryptocurrency, you know they understand even less.
It's interesting, though, because what they were proposing to do with Libra as like a transactional block system, I think they could have just not tried to board the cryptocurrency bandwagon and still been able to accomplish the same thing. Because like if Facebook just buys Western Union or MoneyGram, they would be able to do that right now. MoneyGram's got a partnership with like Walmart. So you can send anybody money anywhere that has a Walmart, which is crazy.
Yeah, but he wants...
worldwide.
No. Because think about this. I mean, he's already got more money than God, but when Libra comes out and he buys a massive chunk of it, and then it goes to $1,000, that's 1,000% increase.
Well, Libra could be powering that under the hood and no one would know about it, and then he could get everybody using it as like a money system. And then
no way, because Western Union absolutely has to be operated like a bank, right?
No.
There's regulation there.
I don't think there's that much regulation. Maybe somebody in China can tell us.
Guarantee you, everything settles in U.S. dollars on Western Union.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
No way can you use funny money for that.
Yeah, that's true that it does settle in U.S. dollars. But
so this is actually piggybacks on the technical illiteracy story. This was one of the questions, and it was less than 50%, which on one hand, scary maybe, but on the other hand, maybe if these people just don't care about any of this, I applaud them.
Most Americans don't know that Facebook owns Instagram and WhatsApp. I think that the article should have made clear that they asked users if they use those apps. And then if they use those apps, did you know that Facebook owns that? Oh, no. But it's not clear that that's what happened.
Which is weird because a couple of months ago, they announced that they were going to change them to Instagram by Facebook and WhatsApp by Facebook, which seems like the stupidest move.
But maybe that's because they were upset people didn't know what they were.
But why would you want them to?
Yeah.
It's a poison brand.
Well, it's like, especially too, even just from like trying to get users. So like Instagram still has a little bit of a reputation of being like hip with kids. Facebook, though, it's like, oh, that's what my grandma uses to like post cookie recipes. I don't want to use something that's associated with Facebook.
That's like taking the IBM logo and changing it to IBM. We worked with the Nazis. Let's forget that. Let's try to keep that a secret. Facebook has the tagging system with their advertising. And so you can go in and be like, hey, I want to find people who are interested in crocheting and advertise to them. And it's really, really like in-depth. There's a lot of tags. And when it comes to children, you're not allowed to use certain tags to advertise to, but they do still exist, which is a little weird and creepy.
Children interested in gambling and alcohol, according to Facebook's algorithm.
And chain smoking.
Has there ever been a time when children weren't interested in gambling and alcohol?
Yeah, I did kind of... I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Haven't we reported on countless children's apps where like the children ran up charges of hundreds and hundreds of dollars like buying crap in the app because it's got that closed circuit of gambling addiction feedback?
Yeah, well, because kids are stupid. But they did point out that there could be like anti-gambling ads that you could run that would use these tags. So maybe they have a less than nefarious purpose in the world, but still kind of weird that you can go in and be like, hey, I want to find kids that want to drink and are 16.
Somebody that I went to school with I was helping them with something and they have a budget in their iPad for their kids. That's like their kids actually can spend $5 or $10 a week on their
week.
Yeah, on their like ad, and they're like, "Look, we're in a long car ride. It keeps the kids quiet. I'm happy to pay $5 for that."
No, that's disgusting.
A week?
Yeah,
it seems
it's just
a lot to spend on a game a week.
Yeah.
Another big tragedy this week. However, it's funny because I asked these guys about it Friday night, and they're like, well, maybe I heard something about that, but...
Yeah, there wasn't a lot.
I wasn't really sure, which is weird, because the last time this happened, now, to be fair, the last time was a lot more severe, But the last time this happened, everybody lost their mind. And this time it happened. And really, I mean, CNN Business? CNN Business? Not CNN.com. CNN Business. Why is this pushed down to, like, page 23? Maybe because it's in a country that already has gun control?
Germany's shooting suspect appears to have live-streamed the attack online. So, this is not dissimilar from other gun attacks that there have been in the past. And to your point, there really wasn't a lot of coverage about it.
Very little.
Even though it was streamed online.
Now, this guy only got two people, but it was live on Twitch. And he apparently had some anti-Semitic ramblings during the whole thing. So, mm-hmm. It was one of those, like, you know, obvious hate crime, live-streamed, used a gun, but... We don't really care about this one because it doesn't forward.
Because it happened in Germany. Because Germany already has the laws.
Yeah, and yeah, that's not a second. We can't really. Greta's not going to cry about this one. So let's move on to the next story. Have you heard about Trump? He's wacky and stupid. Yeah. Instagram. No, I don't use Instagram, but this is hilarious. I didn't realize this was a thing. The following tab. So people don't seem to realize that. I can go to your Instagram profile and click on this following thing and see all the stuff that you're creeping on and all the, you know, big butt implant girls that you're liking every day. And apparently that's causing some strife in relationships.
Horny people, you're free. Instagram's following tab is gone. No longer can you cringe while seeing your friends, coworkers' thirsty late night likes. This is from BuzzFeed, of all places.
So let's show it here.
Yeah, Krista, you and I have talked about this because, like, you use Twitter.
Yes.
And I use Twitter, and you go through there, and it's like, you know, so-and-so liked something, and it's like, well, what is that? And you click on it, and it's like, oh.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, and, yeah, I wish Twitter would get rid of it, honestly, because I really don't care what people I follow are, like, interacting with, but some Twitter thinks that I want to know.
Some of the people that I follow definitely have no idea that that is happening. That, like, when they like something, that it's like, so-and-so liked whatever. And it's like, okay, I'll check that. And then it's like, oh.
Oh.
Or you don't know
that's
that.
That's a big booty thought.
They might just be proud.
They may just not care, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I love big asses, and I don't care if Wendell knows.
Well, listen, you're also...
Some of the things are much darker than that.
Oh, I've never seen... Usually it's just, like, the thirsty stuff. But sometimes it's from, like, married men, and I'm like,
yeah. Well, they pointed out that some of the most contentious ones were you were not replying to someone, but you were liking thought posts during that time. And they could see that, and you might not realize that that's what's going on. They're like, oh, I was busy.
It requires effort to respond to you. I'm not going to deal with this right now. I've been guilty of that a few times, a lot, daily.
Well, don't do it on Twitter or Instagram. And finally... In the surprising no one section of the news is Twitter. Now, Twitter will harass you because I don't give them one. And they're like, hey, you really should give us a phone number.
Yeah, they really
want it. It's super critical that you give me a phone number. I need it for security.
Twitter took phone numbers for security and used them for advertising. They posted some cryptic info online, and some people started pulling at that hole in the tapestry. And by the time the wall came down, it was like, oh, yeah, no, we were using phone numbers for advertising for a long time.
It was an accident.
An accident.
It was a long accident.
A years-long accident.
So they're saying, no, you still need to give us that phone number. It's still super important for security. We'll never do this again. But
it'll
we have
happen.
Been doing it for a long time. And making money off of it.
I'm sure Twitch is doing the same thing. Twitch makes me angry because they require that two-factor now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
I understand the problem there because we have a partnered account.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know. And people, God, do they love to go after the thoughts on Twitch and either stalk them because they're in love with them or stalk them because they hate them for their beauty or whatever. You know, it's...
Oh, foreshadowing. Yeah. We shouldn't laugh about that. It got kind of sideways this week.
So I can kind of forgive them for that, but it is super annoying when the three of us need to use the same account. I guess they didn't prepare for that. Whatever. And that's all we got.
For this episode.
What we got tomorrow?
Business and security.
Neat.